Paul Jones is the TV. Sorry, he's the radio play-by-play voice of the Raptors, and he joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Good morning, Mr. Jones.
How you doing, Jeff?
Who won the volleyball? Who won the volleyball?
I don't know. My kid's team, it's a co-ed volleyball tournament, so I'm lucky enough to watch my son and daughter, even though they're a few years apart in high school, play on the same team. So I'm kind of peeking through the window here, and they're working away. They just started the tournament, so I can watch for a bit before we head to Brooklyn.
But by the way,
game last night.
Yeah, you know, by the way, Tim Donaghy says that you're an easy referee, an easy volleyball official to pressure.
Yeah, really?
The home crowd, yeah.
Really? Well, I emailed Travis when I heard you talking yesterday, and I've read that Donaghy book. I emailed him my circle theory of officiating, and I told Tim and Sid, I just believe that in the NBA, good teams get marginal calls, they win games, they become perceived as good teams and a team that, well, that's what they do. They know how to win, and they, you know, earn calls, and all of a sudden, the circle keeps going for them. If you're on a bad circle, you're a bad team, you lose games, you don't get the marginal call, the perception becomes that, well, you haven't earned that call because your team's no good, and the losing continues. I've actually sat courtside and heard a ref say to a coach, your team's stuck. Well, I won't use the word he used, but your team is terrible. Sit down. And I think that's how it goes in the NBA, not necessarily for just Toronto, but for Sacramento or Milwaukee, or when you're on a bad circle, you got to do what Toronto's doing right now. Put your head down, keep your mouth shut, play through it, and eventually, you know, a guy like DeRozan, he gets calls. Let's see if the whistle continues. But it's like turning an ocean liner, Jeff. It's a long, slow process, and Toronto's in the midst of it right now. And a lot of that message has come from Dwayne Casey when he was in Dallas. I mean, they've gone from 23 to 34 to 48. And I heard you when we first came on. That's not a fluke.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a fluke. Dwayne Casey has been talking about this, and this is how you do it. And when everybody gets high and crazy and, oh, we're winning, he's like, is there a ring being given out? Is there a championship banner? No? Okay, well, then we still have more work to do. And I think that message has been consistent. And that was not a fluke last night. That's how that team has played all year. We started to see it in December, that little bit of you know, a thought of we've got something going turned into confidence. It was galvanized through wins to become resiliency. And you saw last night a fourth quarter comeback win, tied for the most in the NBA with Miami and Golden State. It's not a fluke.
And Jonesy, there were a lot of things I liked about that game, and it's like anything else. I mean, you take a look at big picture, but you also look at some of the smaller things. The inbounds play with Greivis Vásquez. Now, I know that a lot of people, that may not be pointed to, but over Kevin Garnett, and we've talked
great
about...
Great play call.
Oh,
great play call.
And we've talked about this. You know what? The one thing, well, one of many things that the Rudy Gay trade gave the Toronto Raptors, and I'm not going to hammer on Rudy Gay here, but one of many things it gave them was guys off the bench capable of executing down the stretch. John Salmons, who's, you know, struggled lately, but at one point, John Salmons was the guy you wanted to inbound the ball late in the game. Same with Greivis Vásquez. But you can't underestimate the importance of not only, I mean, it's one thing to have your bench out there to give everybody a rest, but it's another thing to be able to have guys off the bench who can play significant minutes and make significant decisions in significant minutes.
Jeff, that was a key pass, because if that pass goes 2 feet further, now Amir Johnson is racing towards a loose ball with a little guy, Deron Williams. If the pass isn't, it's kind of like a quarterback over the linebacker in front of the secondary. If it's too short, it's a turnover. And I love the way they ran the play so it cleared out the backside. Amir catches it, and you heard him say, well, I didn't want to get fouled and have the pressure of free throws. Well, hey, you got one, two dribbles and nothing in front of you, and it turns into a dunk. So I just like the way this team has played all year, Jeff. And They're not afraid. I mean, Kevin Garnett continued with his shenanigans trying to, you know, bait Kyle Lowry and, you know, suck him into fouls and doing stupid stuff. Yeah, they both got technicals at one point, but if he thinks Lowry's going to back down, because people have said Garnett's tried to make a point of punking guys who won't fight back, I think he's picked the wrong kid, kind of a Philly kid, and there's no way he's going to take anything, and I think he's smart enough to give it back at the right time. Let's see if Toronto can go to Brooklyn and keep this up.
Paul Jones joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. I can't say enough about the ability, and, you know, this is, I mean, you see this with really good players. I mean, Michael Jordan, you know, Michael Jordan used to get a lot of breaks. Kobe, they get a lot of breaks in the playoffs. But you know what? There are also times during the playoffs, and you know this, Jonesy, as well as anybody, where they do end up having five fouls against them or four fouls against them, and there's still a good chunk of time left to play. There's a real art to making sure you put your imprint on a game and not put your imprint in the opponent's face. And what DeMar DeRozan did last night, to me, speaks even more to the growth we've seen in this guy since he's been in Toronto. I think he's the most underappreciated athlete in Toronto sports history. When you see what this guy has done, he's committed to the city. We tell the stories, and you tell them, and I know Eric tells them, and Matt Devlin tells them about the guy who goes up to the gym and just shoots balls after the game because he's had a bad night or he's not comfortable with things. And then when I see that, the way he pulled that off yesterday, that's just remarkable.
Or calling coaches, workout coaches, to go back at 11 at night to get more shots up. And he has been committed to the team and to the city by, you know, vowing and making himself better. What he did last night was pretty good for a guy who was playing in only his second playoff game ever. He didn't want to come out, and Dwayne Casey, like a good parent, hey, I'm making the decision for you, and it's not about being popular, it's about doing what's right. And I don't care if you like it, this is what's going to happen. And he sat down. I mean, the same thing happened to Lowry in the first quarter. It was time for him to come out at the 10-minute mark. He looked at Dwayne Casey like, what are you doing? And Dwayne just said, have a seat. You'll be back, but not now. And I think that's, you know, that's part of the whole thing. Everything coming together the right way. The coaching, the way the guys are playing. As you said, DeMar DeRozan making a commitment. He was terrific in that fourth quarter when he went back in. He made big shots. He made the right decisions. You know, that being said, if Paul Pierce makes one of those two threes, we're talking about them being down 2-0. Jeff Van Gundy said it best. It's a make or miss league. And last night, you know, Paul Pierce missed two big looks.
Hey, Paul, what do the Raptors have to do to prevent themselves from falling into sort of that 5-on-5 half court game that I thought in the second half, pretty early in the half, the Nets sort of, it's almost like they lulled the Raptors into that. And I mean, that, look, again, a veteran team, they're going to do that. They're going to pull strings every now and then. But what do the Raptors have to do to counteract that?
I think when you do get into that kind of game, Jeff, you got to move the ball. Toronto, for the first time in a long time, they only had 19 assists last night. They're usually pretty good at moving the ball. It was one of those games where, and some of those assists went the way of the 21 turnovers they had, but you got to move the ball, force rotations, multiple effort defensively from the Nets, and then when they come back, if after you scored, hopefully you have your defense set, maybe you can get a turnover and get out and have a broken floor situation. It's tough, 5-on-5. Again, you know, last night both teams shooting for a lot of the game in the low 40s before they both went off and got going in the fourth quarter. So I just think that Toronto's got to be solid defensively, and that'll create some turnovers and some chances to get out and run and then do what they did last night. Toronto averages 11 offensive rebounds a game over the course of the season. They had 19. They out-rebounded the Nets badly last night, and it was basically saying, all right, you're going to play small. Then when that ball goes up on the glass, we're going to get every rebound. We're going to get two and three looks at the baskets, and eventually we're going to score. So I thought Dwayne Casey had the right strategy last night. We thought we'd see Landry Fields. He was terrific. And now it's up to Jason Kidd. And a lot of people I heard on Twitter last night, people asked me, well, do you start Landry Fields? I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I would stay with the kid. Stay with Terrence Ross. See what he gives you. Roll him out there at the start. If it's not working, then you know you have Fields in your back pocket. Don't give Pierce and Johnson and these guys a look at Pierce at Fields for a long time and have them kind of figure stuff out. Just keep those things in your back pocket. You know when you can trot them out, but I would run the kid out there and let him play at the start of the game.